We're going to continue today. I was going to shift a different direction, but I just, you know, something that's, I don't know, maybe it's the way God works with me, but something that I have trained myself over the years to do, and I learned just following an inward witness, not a voice, not saying that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us, but I've trained myself to listen and to pay attention to an inward witness, just something you just say, You know, you get a check, or you get a good feeling about something, and you just follow that. And so I've trained myself to do that, not ignore it, because sometimes I have ignored it. Not saying we're all hitting it on the mark every single time. You know what I'm talking about, right? We're all learning to pay attention to those inward witnesses, those inward promptings. You know, because so often I hear people say, I'm just waiting for the Holy Ghost to tell me something. And all the while, he's giving you an inward witness. And you're looking for a voice. And that's where we miss it. Not saying he doesn't. But that inward witness is the primary way. That's what Jesus said to Brother Hagin when he was alive. The last time he appeared to him. He appeared to him seven times. The last time he said, I'm not going to teach you this way anymore or lead you this way anymore by appearing to you. He said, the primary way that I lead my church is through the inward witness. The primary way. So that doesn't mean there aren't other ways he may appear to people, may have appeared to you. He may speak to you. He speaks to us and leads us by that inward witness. And then he also speaks to our spirit, because you are a spirit. He speaks to our spirit, and then we hear our spirit. A lot of times people say, it sounds like me. Yeah, it is you. It's your spirit speaking to you. You know, how many have had an inward voice, an inward, you know, something you hear your spirit saying, go do this, you shouldn't do that. That's your spirit speaking to you, your human spirit. He speaks, he lives in our spirit. And he speaks to our spirit. And our own spirit will pick up those things and it'll sound like you. And then there are times the audible voice of God will speak. It's the Father speaking, and you know the difference. So I have trained myself to listen to the primary way that he leads us is that inward witness. So I'm saying all of that to say I just had this good feeling to continue in these lessons. That's what I'm sharing. I just had this inward witness to continue and just share maybe one or two more lessons on this subject of no evidence. Did he speak to me? No. Now, he did speak to me initially on these lessons, but the inward witness is the primary way that he leads us in life. So sometimes when you have something, a decision, you may have A and B. You know what I mean? You have these two things in front of you, and you have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. And you look at it, you are a spirit. And God's spirit lives in you. And he bears witness with your spirit because you are a child of God. Yes, I am. Right? We're a spirit. And we're children of God. So we have these choices. And you look at them and you go, well, yeah, that looks good and that looks good. But something's going to register on the inside of you and one's going to say, you know, I like this one better. That's an inward witness. And so often we're looking for bells and whistles and all of these things, and God has given you a spirit. You are a spirit. And it's that inward conscience, that inward knowing. You know, most of us know it anyways, because, you know, when you did something you weren't supposed to, you said, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Well, what was that? What was that? I shouldn't have done that. It was an inward witness. It was an inward knowing. It was something on the inside that said, it wasn't a voice. It was an inward knowing. I shouldn't go over there. I shouldn't hang out with these people. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't take that job. I shouldn't marry that person. I shouldn't be friends with these people. There was an inward knowing. Well, that's how we're to be led in every decision that we make. And you do know. You know, you may push it away and go, yeah, I want to do what I want to do, but there's a knowing in there that I should make this choice. And sometimes those choices are choices you don't want to make. So you push them away. And that inward knowing is like, go say, I'm sorry, that I'm doing that. Or go help them. No, I'm not doing that. So there's an inward knowing, and you know it. But a lot of times we just suppress it or push it off or ignore it because it's something the Holy Ghost is wanting to do and to use you, and we ignore it. Or we don't want to do it, right? But the more we yield, say yield, the more we yield, the more he'll use us, and the more you'll recognize that. You'll recognize him. You'll recognize, that's the Holy Ghost. That's him. He's telling me, yeah, I'm going to yield to that. And the more you do, the more sensitive you become. And that's how we grow. That's how we sing this song, Build Your Church. That's how he builds his church. He's building his church through the fellowship that we have with him. And then, of course, there's offices in the church that bring us into the unity of Christ. It's the Word, but it's also him leading us. Because we're his hands and his feet and his eyes, and you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to welcome everybody today. I should jump in here and welcome everybody on our digital connection, all of those connected through Facebook and the online. We welcome you today, and there's something good for us. Something good is for us. Hallelujah. So that we can grow in the things of God and we can mature. Hallelujah. You know, I was impressed, again, just have a good impression. I'm going to read this entry. I don't normally do this, but I just have an impression to do this today. I read an entry from Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Health Food. And it was an entry this Thursday and Friday. And it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, your own selves, James 1:22. And he said, there are a number of different methods whereby healing can be obtained through the word of God. One way, and again, we're reading this, not the only way, but one way is simply to know what the Word of God says for yourself and then act on it. You don't have to pray. You don't have to get anyone else to pray. Simply act on what the Word says. By whose stripes ye were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. Then he shares this story. In February 1955, I held a meeting for a pastor. I stayed in the parsonage with him and his wife. One night, I was awakened at 1:30 with alarming symptoms in my body. The devil said to me, now this is one time you're not going to be healed. He's doing God's work here, right? He said, you know, the devil will try every way in the world that he can to talk you out of healing. He'll try every way he can to rob you of any of the blessings of God. Do you know what I did when the devil said that to me? I pulled the covers over my head and started laughing. I didn't feel like laughing. Now pay attention to what he says here. I didn't feel like laughing. There is such a thing as laughing in the Spirit. It's easy to laugh when you're laughing in the Spirit. But I wasn't laughing in the Spirit. I was laughing in the flesh. Pay attention to what he's saying. We're going to learn something here. I was laughing in the flesh. I was making myself do it. I didn't feel like laughing. I didn't feel like doing something. I didn't feel like laughing. While I was lying in bed at this pastor's home, the devil said, "Remember, the doctors told you that nothing could help you. They said your symptoms would come back and you would die. This is one time you're not going to get your healing." I just covered my head and started saying, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." I said that over and over again. I must have laughed that way 10 minutes. Then the devil said to me, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "Mr. Devil, I'm laughing at you because you said that I'm not going to get my healing." I laughed another 10 minutes. And all the time I was experiencing, this is what he said, all the time I was experiencing serious, alarming symptoms in my body. He continued to laugh. He didn't pick up 911 because they didn't have it. He didn't call for somebody to pray for him. He laughed at the devil. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. But he laughed. The devil said to me, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "I'm laughing at you. You said that I'm not going to get my healing. I wasn't planning on getting it. Why would I want to get it? Jesus already got it for me." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By ye whose stripes ye were healed." I don't have to get it. Jesus got it, and because he got it, I have it. I don't have to get something I already have. "Now just gather up your duds and get out of here." He said every symptom left. I didn't have to pray. I didn't have to get someone to lay hands on me. I just acted on the word because I knew what the word said. That's the best way to receive healing. But if your faith is not at that level, don't condemn yourself. Just hook up with another method and keep growing until you get the place where you can act for yourself. What are other methods? Get in the prayer of agreement. James, call for the elders of the church. So there are other methods, laying on of hands, but he chose to just believe the word and act on it. Now, if you're not, that's what he said, if you're not at that level, don't beat yourself up. Find another method, because God has already gotten your healing. All he's trying to do is get that revelation to you for you to do what? Take it and walk in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Blessed me. Blessed me. Whenever you run, it doesn't have to be a sickness in your body. It could be lack of finances. It could be something going on in your family, marriage, spouse, children, whatever, job. If something is promised in the Word of God, you can sit and laugh, laugh, laugh. You can say, "Ha, ha, ha, ha. This is mine. Hallelujah. And I take it." Glory to God. Praise God. Well, let's pray so we get into the Word of God for a few minutes. Father, we thank you for your Word. We're so grateful for the Word of God. We thank you that it is life to us. And your words are spirit and they're life to us. And so, Father, we thank you this day, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We thank you that he will unfold and reveal the Word of God to us today, to our hearts, and illuminate our minds, our souls. And we thank you for it. And Father, we thank you that we won't just be hearers of the Word, but we will be doers of it and act upon it when we see it. And Father, we thank you this day for your Word, which says that first of all, we're to lift up those who are in authority and all those who have the rule over us. So Father, we lift up, since we're in this country, we lift up the United States, we lift up this area that we live in New York, and we thank you, Father, for the President of this United States and the Vice President and all of the elected and appointed officials, those justices in the Supreme Court, and all of the leaders and those who have been elected in the House of Representatives and the Congress. We thank you for them, and we thank you that you're giving them and have given them supernatural wisdom and insight to make laws that are just laws and that will help us to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Father, we thank you this day that Jesus is Lord and the devil is defeated. And Father, we give you the praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to just share briefly some thoughts on our words, watching our words, all in line or all in the same theme or context of what we've been sharing on no evidence. And that theme will run through this also, that we need to watch our words. What does that mean? Your words have to be unctioned in faith. So when we talk about faith, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't release words. We shouldn't be releasing words based on what I see. We should be releasing words that are faith-filled words, faith words that have been planted in our hearts, the Word of God that's been planted in our hearts. So we don't walk by evidence of things seen, but we're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. You notice how that said, I believed, and therefore. Therefore, anybody know what therefore means? Because of that. So because of my faith, I speak. You know, sometimes we just read over stuff. It says, I believed, and therefore. On account of is another word. Or because of. For which cause. So when we read, you know, I believed, and therefore, it's because of my faith that I speak. I like the Passion Translation. It says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the Scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. Oh, I like that. First I believed, then I spoke in faith. Mm-hmm. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. Hallelujah. So our faith must be released through words. It's not enough just to believe, but there has to be an action. There has to be a therefore, if you could say that. You believed, and then therefore you speak. You release those words, those things that you believe. And we've been sharing other messages. Faith speaks the outcome of things. Faith must call those things that are not as though they were. And so we've been looking at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. When we talk about substance, We're talking that Greek word, substance, means obviously, you know, when it talks about substance, it means it's confidence, it means it's assurance. It's the confidence, it's the assurance, but really what it means a support, it means something set under is really what that Greek word means. So when we say faith is the substance, it's the ground, it's the support for something you are expecting. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things expected. So I expect something, and the support of that is faith. Where does faith come from? The Word of God. So the ground and support, that's why when we say that something that I expect must, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins from the Word, something God has promised. That's my support. That's where my belief comes from. The Word of God, and that's the substance, that's the ground on which things that I expect come from. Just a simple thing here, we're sitting on chairs. Well, you come in to sit out, you're expecting to sit on that chair and the floor holds you up. You don't even think about it. So you, the substance, the support for that chair, the ground that supports it is the floor. It's solid. So is the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. It can't change. And so my expectations are built upon that, are supported by that. That's what we're trying to say. And so I like the and we'll continue on this. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that's why we've been talking about no evidence, but the only evidence that I need is faith. It's the evidence of things what? Not seen. So when we talk about what's your proof of something that you're expecting, what's the evidence? My faith. It's, the Amplified said, it's the title deed. Well, prove to me you own that car. You're driving it. Prove to me you own that house or that property. Well, you pull out a deed. Just because you live in it doesn't prove that you own that. Prove that to me. Well, you know, somebody may ask for those proof of documents, and you prove it. It's a title deed. Prove to me that you've received that. Prove to me you've received your healing. The only evidence I need is faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. And I like the Passion Translation. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation. See, this is what we're talking about. Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the what? The foundation. It's the support needed to acquire the things we long for. So there's got to be a foundation. You can't just desire something. You can't expect something without a foundation. What's the foundation? The Word of God. So it's all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Glory to God. So God's word says that our faith is the only evidence needed to prove what we can't see. So we're going to pick up, and we touched on this scripture before, Colossians in the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. And I like this. It says, he canceled out every legal violation. So there were legal violations against us we had on our record. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us, he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Everything we once were. That means if you were a failure, that means if you were poor, if you were sick, all those things that you once were in Adam has what? Been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. That's why we can laugh at the devil. What are you laughing at? I'm laughing at you. Because everything I once was has been nailed to the cross. Christ hath redeemed me from the curse of the law. His blood has redeemed me. In whom I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. I have redemption in him through his blood. So we can laugh at the devil. Doesn't mean we want to laugh or feel like it, but we can laugh at him because he's defeated and the blood of Jesus has redeemed us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the record of our sins and sicknesses against us has been erased, it's been deleted, and they cannot be retrieved. No evidence. That's what he said in the scripture. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. That means no evidence. Let's look at Matthew 16 and verse 19. This is the Passion Translation. It says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. Who's to forbid? Hello, everybody awake? Who's to forbid? We are. We're to forbid that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. And we went through this. So when this says here, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm, this is really the symbols of, the word keys is really the symbols for authority and ruling power. That's what that means. I'm giving you the authority to forbid things here in the earth. I'm giving you the authority to release things. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He forbid and he released people. So whatever, and this word here, it says to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. The footnote on this said, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven, or that which you forbid on earth must be that which is already forbidden in heaven, and that which you permit on earth must be that which is already permitted in heaven. So what's forbidden in heaven? Sin, sickness, lack, hate, worry. So we need to, what did Jesus say? He said, when he was here, he said, be of good courage. He said, I've overcome the world. He said, my peace I give unto you. So he was releasing something to them, wasn't he? Peace. We have the same authority to do that here. So often, we're going to God saying, give me peace. And God is saying here in his word, you are to release it to people. I've given it to you. We're asking God for something he's already given us. We're asking God to heal us when he's already healed us. We should be releasing healing. We should be releasing peace and forbidding things. Why? Because he's given us, the church, the keys of kingdom's heaven, heaven's kingdom realm. He's given them to us. Hallelujah. Listen to this. This is the contemporary English version. I know they don't have this, but this is Matthew 18, 18. It says, I promise you that God in heaven, listen to this, God in heaven will allow whatever you allow, but he will not allow anything you don't allow. So a lot of times people are claiming, God, why are you allowing this? And he's back there saying, because you allowed it. People are complaining about stuff. God, fix this. Why? It just seems like God's allowing it. He is, because you allowed it. He's given you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm. He's given them to you. When you were raised from the dead with him, you were seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. That means not physically you're there, but as far as God is concerned, you are the body. And the same authority the head has, he's given to the body to exercise here, to forbid and to allow. Hallelujah. So when we speak here, again, this is what what the Amplified says in Matthew 18, 18. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be but that which is already permitted in heaven. So there are some things that we haven't stepped over. We're growing. I like that song, build your church, build your church. When we bind and loose, we declare your truth. Ooh, that's what we're doing. When we bind and loose, we are declaring his truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the word, so when we, just an example, the word says that Matthew 8, 17, that himself, that it might be fulfilled, that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, that what? Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, whose own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So we don't deny that pain or symptoms exist, nor do we deny the existence of disease, but we deny its right to continue in our bodies. He supplies all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's made us rich, rich spiritually, but also he's opened to us, he's given us the laws of seed time and harvest, where he said, if you bring your tithe into the storehouse, he said, if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. So he's put some laws in operation for us to take advantage of, that this world system cannot stop. It can't hinder the laws of God. The devil is defeated. God's laws are greater than the devil. So I don't care who you are, what where you grew up, what kind of education you had or didn't have. If you sow, you shall reap. If you sow the wrong words with your mouth, you're going to reap it. It's the laws of seed time and harvest. If you sow natural things, if you sow money, you're going to reap money. And on top of that, he said, I will give you seed to sow. He said, and he will multiply our seed sown. And what else? He'll increase the fruits of our righteousness. So not only are we benefiting from more natural resources, but he's going to increase the fruits of our righteousness. Hallelujah. So there's nothing the devil can throw up against us that this cannot overcome. What does the scripture say in 1 John 5? What does the scripture say? 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is that? The world system. This is the victory that overcometh the world system, even our faith. So faith in God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I may not see the money in the bank right now, but if I don't stop sowing, then I will see it. I'll see increase. But you've got to do what? I believed and therefore speak. You've got to bring your tithe into the storehouse and release your faith-filled words and say, I believe that I'm sowing my seed and I shall reap an abundant harvest. There's nothing the devil can do to stop that. If you don't stop, if you stop saying it and you get in agreement with what you see, you'll stop it. If you get in agreement with God's word and you continue to speak God's word and you continue to release God's word in faith, you'll have it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and what? Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say shall come to pass, you'll have it. Glory to God. Most times, people are siding up with their circumstances, and they're talking about it, and the more you talk about it, you begin to believe it. You know that old saying, that person told that lie so much, they began to believe it. Well, you know, we laugh about that, but that's the spiritual law that's being operated. And when you have motivational speakers that say, see yourself successful and say it, it's the same thing. What does Proverbs 18:21 say? Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So you will have what you say, positive or negative. Glory to God. So we need to watch what we say with our words. And another scripture that comes to mind, Proverbs 6, verse 2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of my mouth, of thy mouth. So faith needs to be something that is held fast to. That's what Hebrews 10:23 says. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I like the New Living Translation. It said, let us hold tightly, You know, if you're hanging on, you say, I'm holding tightly to what I've spoken. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. What are you affirming? What hopes are you affirming? For God can be trusted to keep his promise. So we need to learn to hold fast to our confession in the hard places of life. In those tough places, we need to just say, I'm not letting go. I'm not changing my confession because I'm going to have what I say. I like what Pastor Hagin said, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. You need to say those things when it looks like you are and you're going down. But you to say, nope, God is for me. He's not against me. He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And the devil is defeated. And I am blessed. And everything I set my hands to is blessed. And it may not look like it. Just like Brother Hagin chose to pull the covers up over his bed and just started to laugh with alarming symptoms going on in his body. Well, when there's alarming symptoms in your life, may not be physical, you need to make sure you've got the Word of God and hold tightly to your affirmation of faith, your confession of faith. Why? Because he's faithful that promised. He will watch over his word to perform it. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is something that, I read this before, and I think it bears repeating in this little mini book that we gave out a few weeks ago, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. Brother Hagin, when Jesus appeared to him and gave him those four steps, he said, if anybody anywhere will follow these four steps, they'll get anything. Let me not misquote it, but he said, they'll get whatever they're asking for. Let me just read what Jesus said so I don't misquote it. Let me just get this here. This is what he said. He said, if anybody anywhere will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. And that's when he said the first step was to say it. The second step was to receive it. First step was say it. Second step, do it. Third step, receive it. And the fourth step was to tell it. But this is what I wanted to share, which I think bears repeating. He said, in my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it's up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. Positive or negative. So when you hear people say, it just seems like nothing ever changes, nothing ever goes right, it just seems like it never will. You know, I shared with somebody recently, you know, they're always saying, you know, I said, how's it going? And I'm just so tired. And it was about enough, you know, and I'm not the word police, and I don't, but I just said, you know, there was something that Ann Durant shared. She said, you know, when you have an impression, wait for the right time. Because then when it's the right time, everybody's heart's open to receive. So you may have an impression to say something or do something where someone's concerned. Wait for the right time. And then everybody receives and everybody's blessed. So I said, how's it going? I'm tired. I said, well, you know, you may want to consider, you may want to consider changing that confession because you'll always be tired. You will be in bondage to what you say. And that person said, I receive that. You're right. You're right. I receive that. Now, in a different setting, it might have gone a different way. But you understand my point. That when something, Jesus had compassion. So it wasn't that you're trying to be the word police. You have love for your brothers and sisters, and you're going, oh no, they shouldn't say that. So it's out of love and concern that we share something, but wait for the right time. Wait for the right opening. Everybody understand that? If you have love for someone, you don't just come barging in because it might be rebuffed. But wait for the right time. Wait for the right setting. And all will go well. So we need to watch what we say. We need to watch that because here's the point. Your destiny is tied to your words. Your destiny in life is tied to your words. The outcome in your life is going to be tied to what you say. Let me just read some real quickly here. Proverbs 12, verse 6. There's a number of them. Proverbs 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Proverbs 12, verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of man's hand shall be rendered unto him. What does recompense mean? It means the reward or benefit. So the reward or benefit of man's hand shall be rendered unto him. That's what the Amplified says. The Amplified of Proverbs 12:14. It says, the fruit of his words, a man shall be satisfied with good. And the work of a man's hand shall come back to him as a harvest. Ooh. That's why it means get to work. You know, everybody wants to be paid by the government. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if you're just looking for them, get to work. Because what you sow, you're going to reap. It's going to come back to you as a harvest. Glory to God. Proverbs 13, verse 2. Says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Let's look at the New International Version. I like this. It's in the same verse, chapter 13 of Proverbs, verse 2. From the fruit of their lips, people enjoy good things. Oh, that's just plain simple right there. You're going to enjoy good things because you're saying the right things. And then what else does it say? But the unfaithful have an appetite for violence. So we need to watch what we say. That's why we can confidently say no evidence because I forbid it in my body. I decree every trace, every evidence of this stuff that's going on removed. Therefore, I say no evidence. No evidence of this. It's removed. Hallelujah. You've got to learn to speak. Of what the word says. Joshua 1:8. There's so much more we could share. Joshua 1:8. Let's look at the New International Version. It says, says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. See, then, or you could say, therefore. So there's nothing that this world system can throw at us that we cannot overcome and have overcome. How? Through our faith. I believed, and therefore I speak. Hallelujah. You know what I like about this? This has nothing to do with your pedigree. It's got nothing to do with your age. You can be young, you can be old. The minute you start operating in faith, there's nothing withheld from you. Not one thing. The world may hold it back from you. Society may hold it back from you. Your job may hold it back from you. But there's nothing that faith released in words can stop what the world is holding back or what the devil's trying to hold back. Can't stop it. Can't stop it. All things are possible to them who believe. The problem is we keep looking at circumstances. We keep looking at and keep talking about what the world is doing, what they're doing to me. They doing this to me. They're holding this back from me. They ain't giving me this. But God's already given it to you. You've just got to believe and therefore say it. And it'll come. It'll come. It has to come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this day for your word. Thank you that it's life. It's spirit and life to us. Thank you, Father, that we're seeing it. We're getting more in tune with it. We're understanding and seeing the revelation of your word. And we're not just seeing it, we're acting upon it. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's, before we unhook, let's just extend this offer of salvation, this salvation that was paid with such an awesome price of the Lord's blood. His shed blood, that he redeemed us. And so let's extend that offer. And if you're here with us in this room or you're watching online, he said, if you'll believe in your heart or believe unto righteousness and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation, but we're to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. So let's extend that offer. And if you're watching or you're here and you've never done that, or you need to do that, or you want to do that, or maybe you've gotten out of fellowship and you need to get that restored, then let's say this simple confession of faith. Father, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Savior, and I confess that with my mouth. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And now I believe, as the scripture said, I believe unto righteousness, and I confess with my mouth that I am saved. Now I believe that I am saved, I'm washed with the blood of Jesus, and I'm a new person in Christ. Now, if you said that simple prayer, you know, it doesn't need to be long, it just needs to be in faith. And when it's done from the heart and confessed with the mouth, you're saved. And so there's no works involved here. The work was already done. You just need to believe that it was and accept it. And if you've done that, then just reach out and contact us either by email or mail or phone, and they'll put that information up on the screen. Or you can let us know here if you've done that here. And we thank God for it and rejoice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's receive our offering this morning. I'm just going to read a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You know, I just had this thought, and I know it's the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I know I'm reading this concerning our giving, but this applies because it's a spiritual law. If you're just speaking sparingly about your situation, you'll reap sparingly. But if you're speaking bountifully the word of God concerning the opposition, you'll reap bountifully. It's not the time to just say it every now and then, because you will reap sparingly. When you're faced with something in life, you want to reap bountifully. So that means you need to sow with your mouth bountifully. You know, I remember Mrs. Hagen sharing this story because it was a significant. She fell, this is a number of years ago, around maybe 2013, she fell on her tailbone. You know, they call that your coccyx bone. And she said, she fell, and she said it was extremely painful. She said it was worse than childbirth. She said, I can't even tell you, it was so painful. I couldn't sleep. It was, the pain was so excruciating. She went to the doctors, and the doctors said to her, well, the best we can do, this is the strongest pain medication we can give you. She said it did nothing. So she said, her husband, Pastor Hagen, said, honey, just say this. Say, the word of God is working in me mightily, affecting a healing and a cure in my body, and undoing that which Satan has wrought. And she said, if I said that 100 times a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. I just said it and said it and said it and said it. That's sowing bountifully. And she said, it took about 3 months. Now you think about that. She's in pain, excruciating pain, for that length of time. She said, it took about 3 months for it to begin to subside. And she said it went away. You will reap and you will eat the good things through the lips of your mouth. But the lips of our mouth have got to sow bountifully if you want to reap bountifully. This applies not only to your giving, but every area of your life. Hallelujah. So let's raise our offering and let's say this. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to sow my seed into the kingdom of God. I thank you that your word says that if I sow bountifully, that I will reap bountifully. I thank you that the need of the ministry is met. I thank you that their natural need is met and they're increasing. I thank you that my needs are met and I believe that I am increasing. My bank accounts are increasing. And I thank you that good things are coming to me in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I hope you got a little something out of that. Keep the switch of faith turned on. What does that mean? Believe you've received something from God. Now, Brother Hagin would say that. Talking about believe you receive healing when hands were laid on you. It was imparted unto you. But then keep your words active. That it's working in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God.